Okay, it's 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim. This is Rabbi Chaim Bravender. We're going to talk a little bit about Reb Chanan. And usually, in many years, I didn't have the opportunity to teach these parashiyot that come out in the Bein Hazmanim, in the vacation time of the yeshiva world. But because of the COVID, I have nowhere to go. So I guess even bad things sometimes produce results that are not so bad. So the parasha begins with a mystery. The mystery is Moshe Rabbeinu's decision to pray to God to change the decision that was made. Now, we don't understand exactly how God works or how these decisions are made, but we're made aware through the Torah of some of these decisions, some of the things that were done. So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was told in the printer, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he would not go into Eretz Yisrael. And we could only imagine what a difficult moment that was. I mean, here's Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole life dedicated to bringing Bnei Yisrael to the land of Canaan. And he himself is going to be punished by not bringing, by not going, by not becoming part of that nation that goes to Eretz Yisrael. So that's the first thing. And we don't understand exactly why this punishment was chosen by heaven and meted out to Moshe Rabbeinu. We also don't understand, what did Moshe Rabbeinu think? I mean, you know, we sometimes face with hopeless situations and we die because we don't really understand. We don't daven because we know it's going to help, but we daven because we don't really. The host has unmuted you. I don't know what that is. Moshe Rabbeinu, he did understand. He knew that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you're not going to go to Eretz Canaan, you wouldn't go to Eretz Canaan, even though Moshe Rabbeinu also knew that sometimes the people who are guaranteed punishment are redeemed from that punishment. The best example that I bring all the time is the city of Nineveh. City of Nineveh, the prophet Yonah came to the city of Nineveh and said, the city will be overturned, destroyed, because of the way you acted. Now, they did apparently some great tshuva, some great repentance, the whole city, including the animals. And they were redeemed. So we don't really know how it all works, but Moshe Rabbeinu, my thought always was that he did know. He understood the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and himself. He did understand. And so the second problem that we have, not problem, but the second question that we stand before is this question. Didn't he understand? Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu understand that he was not redeemable from this punishment? Whatever explanation you might give for that, but Moshe Rabbeinu should have understood, but he didn't. Excuse me. So, the first pasuk in the parasha, Vetchanan el Hashem ba'eta hilemor, and Rashi divides up that pasuk into kind of three parts. The three parts. Vetchanan. Firstly, Rashi says, Rashi is oriented to words. He says, well, what about that word? He says, why should that word be used to describe what Moshe Rabbeinu did? I mean, what he did was he davened. So why not use a regular word? A word that we all know, and the Torah could have said, V'yitpalel. Or Moshe Rabbeinu could have said about himself, V'etpalel. Perfectly reasonable Hebrew. What's that Hanan? It sets us into a kind of a strange way of thinking, well, what is he really doing? And what might it mean? V'et Hanan el Hashem. So Rashi says, Ein chanun bekol makom el rishon matnat chinam. So this Rashi is very well known, but demands a certain amount of consideration. The word chanun, chet nun nun, the root chet nun nun, means matnat chinam. Somehow it's connected to something that you get for nothing. What does that mean? What is somebody here getting something for nothing? What is Moshe Rabbeinu? Af al pi, Rashi says, sheyesh lahem letzadikim litlot b'maseihem atovim, even though the tzadikim, the righteous people of whom Moshe Rabbeinu is certainly one, he's certainly connected to the tzadikim, so the tzaddikim can sort of come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, look, I have a lot of merit. I have in the bank. I have a lot of good deeds that I did, a lot of mitzvot that I have done. So I'll trade that in for something that Am Yisrael really needs, right? Ein mevakshim, but the tzaddikim, the nature of tzaddikim is they don't want you to think that they did something, some good deed, or they did a mitzvah, because they wanted to trade it in at the end. They don't ask God for anything except what comes for free. They don't want to pay. They don't want to exchange. They don't want to get what they don't really deserve. Not trading in the bank. Lefisha Amarlo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'chanoti et asher achon, I will forgive those that will deserve to be forgiven. Amarlo b'lashon v'et chanan. So that's why he uses that word, v'et chanan, which reminds you of the word v'chanoti, it's the same word. And so God promised Moshe, v'chanoti et asher achon. So we understand that Hanan has a special meaning. It means something in the context of tefillah. It means that I'm not asking for compensation. I'm not asking to justify the way I live and the way the actions I do. I'm just davening for the somebody else's good. And so Moshe Rabbeinu said that that'll work even if I daven for myself. That it is not so understandable, not so clear. Amar lo v'lishol v'et chanan davar acher, davar acher. So Rashi sometimes gives more than one interpretation for the same problem, but here he says, ze'echad mi'asara l'shonot sh'nekrei tefillah. This is one of the 10 words that's in also in the Midrash that is used to describe tefillah, prayer. Kedi'ita b'sifri, the sifri, medrash halacha, amba midbar and dvarim. So davar acher, I mean, I don't get it exactly. Why do I need a davar acher? If the davar acher is sufficient, so that's what Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, davar acher. Well, I don't know. I admit that I don't quite understand, but maybe we'll get to understand it a little bit better. Be'etahi, and here you have an interesting idea. Be'etahi means at that time. At that time, what time? Lachar shekavashti eretz Sichon ve'Og. Remember, Sichon ve'Og were the kings that didn't want the Jews to go through the Bnei Yisrael to go through their land, and they didn't want to sell them water. So we conquered the land. We conquered the land of Sichon Ba'og. And eventually, the land of Sichon Ba'og became part of the Eretz Yisrael that was divided up amongst the tribes. And the tribes that went to the land of Sihon Baog, even though it's on the eastern side of the Jordan River, the ones who went to that to there were Reuven, Gad, and eventually Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. So what? So Dimiti Sheva Hutara Neder. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you ask me, how did I mean, didn't I know that God is not going to renege? Not going to renege for Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is special. Special means also that you don't get any leniency. I mean, how can you give leniency to Moshe Rabbeinu? It's like saying, if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to understand, then no one has to understand. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he wasn't going to get leniency. So Rashi injects another idea. And his other idea is, Shema Hutar HaNeder. God, yes, said you're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, you're not going to get in. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that on that basis there was no point of davening, there was no point of asking God to change the decision. After all, that's not the way it works. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that if he deserved the punishment, he would get the punishment. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu davening to God to ask him to forgive him or to change the punishment? Why is that? So the answer is Shema Hutar HaNeder. You see those words over there? Thinking in halachic terms, maybe the oath that God had imposed upon Moshe Rabbeinu had been forgiven somehow. Been forgiven. Shema Hutar HaNeder. In other words, the land of Sichon Ve'og was also part of Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't part of Eretz Canaan, but it was part of Eretz Yisrael. How do I know it was part of Eretz Yisrael? Because Sichon and Og gave up their land to Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. So if they were going to get the land, that's the land that Moshe Rabbeinu was in. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shema Hutar HaNeger, I assume that in some way God has forgiven me because I'm standing in Eretz Yisrael already. That's what Rashi is saying. I'm in Eretz Yisrael. So if I'm in Eretz Yisrael, that maybe the prayer will help. I'm in a little bit of Eretz Yisrael. I'm in not regular Eretz Yisrael, not the Eretz Canaan that we were thinking of and talking of, but still, you could understand my situation, Moshe Rabbeinu says. You could understand my situation as being a person who's already gotten to the promised land. I'm in the promised land. Shema Hutar HaNeder. So Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven without looking into the matter. He knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had somehow relaxed his decision not to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to enter the land, because he was already in the land of Israel, so to speak, a land that would be divided up by the 12 tribes. And while it's true that the land of Sichon and Og are not quite the same as the land of Canaan, it gave Moshe Rabbeinu the opportunity to imagine that if he davened for his own entree into the land of Israel, that davening would be responded to by heaven. Right? And then you have the word Lemor. Et Chanana Lashem Ba'etahi Lemor. You see the Pasuk up on top? Now the word Lemor usually means, and here's the quote. Here's what he said. But usually Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor. God spoke to Moshe and said the following. But when Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Bnei Yisrael, it's not perfectly clear why he had to use the word le'mor. Because it's Moshe Rabbeinu talking, and he started talking already. He said, who said that? That was Moshe Rabbeinu who said that. So what if it's inject that word le'mor into the pasuk? So Rashi says, Zechad mishalosh mekomot shamar Moshe lefnei amakom. This is one of the three places that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lefnei amakom. Right? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Eini manicham asher tzodi eini, eini manichacham. Sorry, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to stop arguing. I'm not going to stop talking. Asher tzodi eini ta'aseh she'latim lav. I'm not going to let things be until you answer my request, until you do what I do, what I want you to do or not. But I'm not going to let you ignore me. So that's Lamor. Lamor means, as Moshe Rabbeinu said elsewhere, as Moshe Rabbeinu was wont to do when he spoke about Am Yisrael, that there was no barrier, even though he was speaking to God, and you could think that that would inhibit or intimidate Moshe Rabbeinu, but no, he was not intimidated. He was not inhibited by the fact that he was talking to God. Not at all. Not for a moment. Not for a moment. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or what Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was that Moshe Rabbeinu lemor, that Moshe Rabbeinu had hoped, I think, the interpretation is, I think that Moshe Rabbeinu thought that his position when he would ask about himself would be similar to his position when he asked about Bnei Yisrael. Well, we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was defending Bnei Yisrael, he had a special status and a special standing, and that he was able to say things and do things which were to us even unsightly. How could you speak that way to heaven? How could you talk that way? Right? But Moshe Rabbeinu did it. Right? Im ta'aseh she'elati im lav. These are the places where he spoke very forcefully, and he spoke about himself very, very forcibly. The next pasuk. Hashem Elokim, Ata Hachilota Laraot Et Avdecha, you have begun to show your slaves, your people, Et Gadlecha Ve'et Yadcha Chazaka, your greatness, your strong arm, Asher Mi'el B'Shamayim Ba'aretz, who else is there, God in the heavens and the earth, Asher Ya'aseh Kima'asecha, who could do what you could do. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu starts his prayer. So Moshe Rabbeinu has taught us in general, that when you pray for something, you pray to God, you start off by giving praise of God. And that's remained with us. And Anshei Knesset HaGdola made the Nusach of Shmoneh Esrei, right? It said, Akel, Agadol, Agibor, Agadol, Agibor, Vadora, El Elyon, Konei Shemayim Va'aretz. That's all introductory about the greatness, the power, the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the recognition that anything could happen. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all the power and all the possibilities. All the possibilities. One second. Here we are. Rashi says, Hashem Elokim Rachum Bedin. You know that the world was created, Breshit Bara Elokim Bedin. Elohim is a synonym also for Dayanim, right? Elohim lo tekalel is a reference to Dayanim. So that the name of God, Aleph Lamed He Yud Mem, is Din. And Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Rachamim. So when the world was created, it was created, Breshit Bara Elohim, B'din. But that world couldn't exist. He needed to inject Rachamim. So that Pasuk in the second parak in Breshit, Bara Hashem Elohim, this introduction of this combined name. And Rashi says, Racham B'chan, Racham B'din, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Said, we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you are Racham B'din, that you are merciful, and therefore I come to you with my request. Ata achilota laharot et avdecha, Rashi, we're still in Rashi. Patach liot obedu mitpalel. He started in this way, standing and davening. Afal pi shenigzera gzera, even though God had said that there would be no change. Amar lo mimcha lamadati. He said, I learned this from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shamarta li. You said to me, v'ata hanicha li, after the chet ha'egel, with the golden calf, v'chito, ata hanicha li, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said, let me be. Let me be. Let me alone. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'chi tofesayid." Was I holding on to something? Tofesayid ilchala liftoach petach, in order to be able to start the conversation. Shebi talui litpalel aleihem, that I had the obligation to daven for them. Kimo chayechein hayiti savur lasot achshav. That's how I decided, since you told me that on the other occasion of the Chet HaEgel, my prayer would be the determining moment. So I'm going to do that for myself, right? Kimochein hayiti savur lasot achshav. I thought that maybe this would work for me right now. Rashi continues at God lechazo midat tuvcha. This is the goodness in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'cheinu omer, ata yigdal nakor. Hashem, he quotes a pasuk that says about God, yigdal, big. Midat tuvcha. There's a lot of goodness that comes out of heaven. Vet yadcha zo yiminecha, shei pshuta. One second. Shahib Shuta, that changed the page, right? Here we are. And I have to turn it around. B'chol bo'ei olam. Right? That God is willing to be merciful to the entire world. Yarachazatka, Shata Kovesh Birachamim, et Midat Hadina Chazaka. This is a theme that most Rishonim repeated in one way or the other until the modern books of Musar, that there's a battle, that we're always engaged in this battle. Shata Kovesh Birachamim. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, conquers Midat HaDin HaChazaka, overwhelms the aspect of judgment that is very strong. Asher mi'el, Eincha domeh lemelech basar v'dam. You're not like a regular kind of king. Sheyesh lo yo'atzin v'sankedrin amemachin biyado. He has all kinds of agents that work for him. K'sherotzeh lasot chesed v'lavor al midotav. If the king wants to do something, do a nice thing, he can appoint somebody to do it on his behalf. But so it's never seen as the king's weakness. He doesn't have a weakness here. Ata ein mi yimche biyadan in timchol li nitbatel gezeratcha. Nobody's going to say, if you forgive me, that we shouldn't pay attention to anything that you decide. So that's his explanation of Sher Mi'el, Mi'el b'shamayim mimal. He says the fi pshuto. Now you have another interpretation that Rashi gives. Ata chilot al haraot et avdecha. You have begun to show your servant. Milchemet Sichon Va'og. After all, we went to battle and we fought against Sichon Va'og and we were victorious. Kirichtiv Re'ei Achiloti Teit Lefanecha. I have already begun to give to allow you to vanquish. Ha'ani Milchemet Shloshim Ve'Echad Melachim. He showed me the battles that will take place in Eretz Canaan with the 31 Melachim. Okay, so I'm not sure that we have answered all of the questions, but we know that at least according to we know that according to Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu realized that his position was not as strong as it might be. But in spite of the fact that he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, he had no reason to think that God would have changed his original decision not to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Eretz Yisrael. And surely we know there must be a difference between Moshe Rabbeinu davening for Klal Yisrael, which is a charge that he had. That's what God said to him. You are going to bring B'nai Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. So what does that mean? That he was a Moreh Derech? That he was a tour guide? No. It means that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are responsible to get B'nai Yisrael to overcome their faults, to become worthy of the trip, to achieve Eretz Yisrael, because that's what they want to achieve. And the Torah tells us that this was not an easy task. But in order for that task to be done successfully, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the power of prayer. But the power of prayer was given to Moshe Rabbeinu for B'nai Yisrael. It was not given to Moshe Rabbeinu for Moshe Rabbeinu. It was not something that he himself was able to muster up for himself. And so we wonder, I mean, what did Moshe Rabbeinu think? Okay, Shema Hutara Neder, Rashi says, well, you know, after all, Sichon Va'og, we conquered them. That became part of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was there. He was in the land of Sichon Va'og. Maybe he thought that would be a reason. We don't understand why Moshe Rabbeinu would think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to keep his original decision. That's a little hard for us to understand. So we understand that Rashi is dealing with the question. It may be that we understand what Rashi is saying. It may be that we don't understand what Rashi is saying. But both are possible. Both are possible. Yeah. So I want you to know at least one Sfat Emet. One Sfat Emet which is related to this question. And that's the one on the one on top. The Sfat Emet. Tfilat Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom Lichnos La'aretz. So the Sfat Emet says, okay, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu thought, when he went to daven for himself, going into Eretz Yisrael, well, how come it didn't work? I mean, you mean he didn't think about it correctly? He didn't know what it was that was supposed to happen? I mean, is all any of these ideas possible? I mean, you have to make an assumption about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu understood. He represents understanding, right? He received the Torah. He passed the Torah on to Bnei Yisrael. That means that he was able to understand the deepest things in the Torah. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. But he was also able to pass those deep thoughts onto Bnei Yisrael in a way that they would all understand. They'd all understand. So where was his mistake? I mean, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu started out praising God as prayer is supposed to be. And yet he didn't get it. He didn't get it until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, just one more pasuk. 1 second. Yeah. It says here, Vayedaber Hashem bi. He's telling a story, Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayedaber Hashem bi. God was angry with me. Lemanchem. What does lemanchem mean? For you. That's why God was angry at me. Velo shama Eli. He didn't listen to me. Vayom Hashem Eli Rav lach. And God said to me, you've got enough, Moshe Rabbeinu. Do not speak anymore to me in this matter. In other words, it looks like from this Pasuk of love, that Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't get it. So it says three things. Rashi says, the Pasuk says, Lo Shamai Lai, God didn't listen. Vayomer Hashem Elai, what did God say? One, Rav Loch, you already have a lot. Second, Al Tosef Daber Elai Obe Davar Hazeh. Don't come back to me with the same complaint again. This is Pasuk of Av. Vayidaber Hashem. You see the Rashi? God was angry. Nitmalei chema, filled with anger. Lemanchem bishvilchem. It's all your fault. It's your fault. Atem garamtem, but you caused this to happen to me. Vechenu over veyaktsifu almei meriva. Vayira leMoshe b'avuram as a posuk. You remember they wanted water, and Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, didn't speak to the rock. So it's their fault. They did it. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not like a glorious moment of leadership. Davar Acher, I'm sorry, Rav Lach, Rav, Shelo Yomru, Arbe, Kama Kashe. Rav, Shelo Yomru HaRav. Kama kashe v'talmid, kama sarbdan u'bavtzir. Davar Acher, let's look at the Davar Acher. Rav lach harbe mizeh shamu lecha. A lot of this is yours. Rav tov v'atzafun lecha. Right. Rav Lach, why do you, it's like God is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, enough. I mean, you know, it's not like you don't have anything, that you aren't granted any special kind of mercy, any special kind of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, after all, you're the Torah. You are the man of the Torah. And then Al Tosif, the Pasuk says, don't talk to me anymore about this. About this. So let's look at the Sfat Emet. The Sfat Emet, you have to understand, is like 1,000 years after Rashi. So the way of thinking, you know, like when you think about things, is how long did it take the Jews to come up with this other idea? The Sfat Emet says, Tfilat Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, Lichnos La'aretz V'lo Na'ana. You know, it's a manav shach. Well, you don't understand why Moshe Rabbeinu asked. After all, he knew that God wouldn't change the determination. But if he asked, why didn't God respond? I mean, you know, just to embarrass him, embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu. Now look at the Sfat Emet. Nir'eh shehi la'alot kol tfilot b'nei Yisrael asher einan yicholim la'alot. One of the jobs of the leader, one of the jobs of that important personality who has a special connection to heaven, who is on a speaking terms with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of his jobs is that when everybody davens, you all know, it's like the Balatanya says, you don't always daven. The davening you do daven doesn't always get to heaven. It's not always proper. It's not always what we want. So you need somebody who can schlep all that davening up to heaven, to the Kisei HaKavod. Now this, of course, is a metaphor for something. It's a metaphor for Tfilah B'Tzibur. There is this idea that if you daven in a community of daveners, there's a chance that your tefillah will get to where it's supposed to get to. And sometimes even the tzibur is not sufficient. But you need amongst that tzibur somebody who could schlep the davening up to the Kisei HaKavod, to the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, that's like sort of optimistically, I would say, that even though not everybody can do it, everybody has the opportunity of connecting himself to the tefillah of that special person in the minyan. So nir'eh, the he says, shehi la'alot Tfilot b'nei Yisrael, asher einan yicholot la'alot. Right? He says there are tfilot that people daven all the time, but they can't really have an effect. They're just not strong enough. They're not deep enough. They're not pure enough. Eini cholim la'alot. Kol otan ha'tfilot ha'psulot. All those tfilot which are unacceptable, unworthy. Yesh lahem tikun va'aliyah. They can be fixed. They can be brought up. Al yidei tefillah zu. Al yidei tefillah zu means the prayer of that one person who is so special that he can bring the tefillot up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Akol b'midah. Akol b'midah. Everything has a measure. La'asher Moshe Rabbeinu, alav ha'shalom, masar nafsho bavur b'nei Yisrael. He gave up everything for b'nei Yisrael. He gave up his future, he gave up his children, he gave up his wife. Nafsho, v'gam ma shebikesh la'alot la'eretz Yisrael. And so if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to daven for Eretz Yisrael, the Sfat Emet said, it can't be that he didn't understand that he deserved to be punished, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him Aya gam kein rak letovat Yisrael. That also, that was Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't davening for himself. He was davening for the good of Bnei Yisrael, of the Jewish people. He wanted them to have the goodness. Ki yada, he Moshe Rabbeinu nu ki im, she'im lo yachni seim hu, that if he doesn't bring them to Eretz Kinaan, yashchitu achakach darkam, they will corrupt their way. They'll fall back into idolatry. They'll do things that they shouldn't do. The same thing that happened in the past will happen again. But if he goes into Eretz Yisrael, if he can, Moshe Katuv, Ein, Ve'odani Chai, as it says, when I'm still alive, I can make it happen. Lachein Ho Il Tfilato Zot Lebnei Yisrael, and therefore it must be that ho'il tefillah tozot l'bnei Yisrael, that this tefillah was a valuable prayer for b'nei Yisrael, af shelo na'asa bakashato lo haya levatala chas v'shalom ha'tefillah. So he reverses it. He said Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for b'nei Yisrael, and that was his job. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be doing. But when you daven for B'nai Yisrael, you have to say something. To say something, he couldn't say something that he knew could never happen, that B'nai Yisrael would come to Eretz Yisrael and would be righteous. He knew that that was not what was going to happen. And we know that from the book of Shoftim and the book of Shmuel, that they fell again and again into the idolatrous ways. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, in order to prevent that, he wasn't davening for himself. Because it's true, he didn't need it. He didn't need to go to Eretz Canaan. He was in Eretz Canaan. He didn't need to see the land. He saw the land. He wanted to defend B'nai Yisrael. He said, if I don't take them into Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua ben Nun is a great man and a great military leader, but he's not Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not going to convince people that they should give up their inclination to idolatry and go directly to what God wanted of them. Lachein ho'il tfilato zot l'bnei Yisrael. So he said, I better schlep up the davening of all of B'nai Yisrael to heaven. But you have to daven something. You have to say something. So Moshe Rabbeinu said what he wanted. But he knew that he wasn't going to get it. That wasn't why Moshe Rabbeinu davened. Moshe Rabbeinu davened in order that he could lead B'nai Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and that would solve another problem. That would solve a different problem. So the Svatamet says, L'cheno il tfilato zot l'B'nai Yisrael. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah was actually a valuable asset because he schlepped all the davening of the other people up to heaven. And even though he didn't get what he wanted, we understand now that what he wanted was to help B'nai Yisrael. He didn't, if it was just him, it was just him, he understood that he wouldn't be saved. His punishment would remain his punishment. So I think you see that, you know, if you look at things in different ways, you might see different things, but the different things that you see might be important in this case. The leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu existed. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to daven, even though he knew that he would not be rewarded for that daven. They couldn't be, but he needed like a hook to hook it onto. You have to daven for something. Can't daven for some unknown future. So Moshe Rabbeinu, v'etchanan el Hashem, used that special word to indicate that there's something special that he's doing. He's not doing the regular kind of davening. He's davening for himself, but his purpose is to bring this salvation to Bnei Israel. Okay, have a good Shabbos. Have a good Shabbos. All the best.